Hello and welcome to the Office Dev Show, the show all about Office 365 development. And with me today, I have Sudhir Marimanda. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Thanks for being here. I'm really excited about today's show, where we'll talk about add-ins on the iPad or on Office for iPad.
That's right.
And so we shipped Office for iPad last year, and then we announced extensibility inside of Office on iPad at Build this past spring. Mm-hmm. And we've shipped out Excel and Word, right? And PowerPoint is coming soon.
Coming soon.
Which we'll see a little bit of that today.
Yep.
But let's talk about add-ins on iPad.
Yeah, as Sonia said, you know, it's whatever is available for Win32 is pretty much working and available for the iPad. There are some subtle differences in terms of the number of add-ins that are available for the iPad, just because we wanted to curate the add-ins that are available, make sure they're touch-friendly and optimized for that device, if you will. But in general, what you develop for Win32 or the online servers is going to be available for the iPad moving forward. And it's up to them, the developer, to sort of go in and make that available for the iPad, if you will, moving forward.
And we'll talk them through a little bit in the show about how to do that.
That's right.
Excellent.
Yep. So do you want to start up with Excel and see a couple of examples of how things work on Win32 versus iPad?
I would love to.
Okay, awesome. So let's do this. I'm going to exit over here. All right, so I'm going to crack open Win32 Excel.
Yep.
Show you a fairly popular add-in from this company called Dun & Bradstreet.
Mm-hmm.
They just released an updated version of their add-in for iPad, Win32, as well as the online servers. And they're a company that has a ton of business data stored on their servers. And with this particular add-in, you can actually go in and download all that data directly into Excel and work with the data, sort of manipulate the data and things like that. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to go to the store. As you know, we're under the Insert tab.
Yep.
You go to the store and you have a list of available add-ins directly through the store. I'm going to look for an add-in called Business Solutions. And there it comes up, and I'm going to insert this add-in. So imagine that I'm the scenario here is imagine that I'm a small business developer, and I want to target small companies in San Francisco.
Yep.
Right? I want to target companies that have very less revenue, but probably have more than say 10 or 20 employees. So first, I'm going to log in over here just because obviously these folks need to know who I am. And log in. Great. One more time.
And this is a really popular business enterprise app that we see being used a lot.
That's correct. So here it is. So what I'm going to do is, again, I'm going to use that they've got a ton of scenarios that they cover over here. But I'm going to use their marketing solution. This is where I'm actually going to get a list of prospects from their service. So I'm going to get a prospect list. And I'm going to, and they walk me through, this is sort of a trial app, if you will. And of course, if you want to pay more, you get a whole lot more data. But I'm going to say try. And here's where I go in and say the company location. I want the company location to be in the USA. And the state is, say, California. And say I'm in the San Francisco area. So I'm going to go to I'm going to type in San Francisco. And and let's say I want the company size. I'm looking for companies that have annual sales greater or less than, say, $1 million. So really small companies, right? So less than $1 million, but that have employees more than, say, 20 in size.
Okay. Right?
So companies in the San Francisco area that have $1 million or less than revenues, but have more than 20 employees. So when I say load over here, when I say load, it's going to say it's sort of, again, walking me through the fact that I'm using one credit that I have available out of the 10 that I have available. And it's going to go out and get that data, and it's going to actually insert that data directly into my spreadsheet. Right?
Very
so
cool.
It got the data from their servers and inserted it directly into my spreadsheet. Again, imagine as a salesperson, as a small business developer, this data is super important for me, super critical for me, because I can actually find out what these companies are and call them, contact them, sort of use them as my prospects moving forward. Now what I wanted to do was I'm going to save this document on my OneDrive.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to put this on OneDrive, and let's say I'm going to put it in the demo folder. And let's just call this Business Solutions. Okay. Okay, it just saved as book1.x. That's okay.
Book one.
That's reasonable. Let's make sure it gets up there. Now what I wanted to do is let's go onto our iPad.
Okay.
And let's take a look and see what this file looks like from an iPad perspective.
And this is great for the businesses that support the BYOD scenarios, which is a ton of enterprises and also small businesses, right? Because you want your users to be comfortable and familiar with the devices that they're using.
That's right.
But also be productive, right? And maintain the same familiar experience and functionality across all of their devices.
That is absolutely right. So again, I've got my iPad. As you can see, I'm using Excel on mm-hmm. my iPad. I already have a blank file open with the same add-in. Mm-hmm. As you can see, it's the same UI. I'm going to go into landscape mode just to show you what it mm-hmm. looks like. Again, if I were to go to marketing solutions, get prospect list, mm-hmm. you'll see that it's again the same UI.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I can just sort of go through the same process over here. What I'm going to do is I'm going to close this down. I'm going to go back. I've logged in with my Microsoft account over here. I'm going to go in and I am going to open from my Microsoft account. I'm going to go into the demo folder, and I should have a book mm-hmm. one over here. There's my book one that I saved from my desktop,
mm-hmm.
and that's downloading. And when this comes up again, as you'll see, again, it's the same add-in. Same add-in comes up automatically, mm-hmm. And it's the same data that I had in on the desktop. It came up directly over here. So I'm going to click on edit over here, and let's just say duplicate this. So book one copy is just fine. I'm going to save it. Again, you'll see that I have the same data available. I could close this mm-hmm. close this add-in down. Now over here, I've got, say for example, I've got the city, and I've got the annual sales and the total mm-hmm. employees. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I could do over here is I could go in, say I want to actually visualize this data. I want to see what this data looks like. I want to actually go out and find out what companies I should be targeting. Mm-hmm. I can actually go in and I can insert a Bing Maps over here, and I can visualize the same data that I have, mm-hmm. That I had on the spreadsheet using a map. As you can see, the same trust prompts yep. come in when I insert a new add-in. So I'm going to trust this. And again, same add-in that we have from a desktop perspective is available over here, as you already know. I can close this down. Here's what I'm going to do. As opposed to doing this, I'm going to do this on the desktop, and we'll come back to the iPad over here. Again, just to see how we can sort of swap between add-ins and back and forth. So let me get back to my desktop over here. So what I'm going to do over here is I'm actually going to insert a new column. Mm-hmm. I'm going to call this the full address. And I'll use the Excel flash fill functionality, or I could just use the concatenate. Let's just use the Excel flash fill functionality over here. I don't know that a lot of folks know about that feature.
Mm-hmm.
So with the flash fill functionality, what I'm going to do is I'm going to type in a 389 Oyster Point BLVD 5. That says South San Francisco. Did I get that? And that's California, and 94080,
mm-hmm.
right? So if I were to sort of come over here to this column, I go to the data column over here, and where's my flash fill? Flash fill, that basically recognizes that pattern that I just typed into mm-hmm. that column, and does the same thing for the rest of the rows over here that I have in the data. Now, as you can imagine, now I can go into my Bing Maps, and again, open up the same add-in that I had mm-hmm. on the iPad over here on Bing Maps. And let's get this down over here. And I could select these columns and visualize the data. And there it is. So that's the data that I have. And let me just pull this up over here one more time. And now if I wanted a different kind of a visualization, mm-hmm. What I could do is I could go in and I could say, instead of the pie chart, I want circles. You'll see that it's a much different visualization. This actually lets me know, you know, these are the companies that I mm-hmm. look for. The ones with a lot of, you know, sort of the total employees, the lot of the red, if you will. I know that those are the companies that I should be targeting, because yep. they are the companies that have a lot of employees, mm-hmm. but a lot, you know, in terms of sales, they have very less sales. So again, that's sort of a scenario where you can accomplish this task of, you know, finding a list of prospects
mm-hmm.
and then visualizing them using multiple add-ins in the store, if you will, using our add-ins. Now I'm going to save this again, Let's go back to our iPad really quick and then look at what happens. Again, as you talked about, you know, if you're on the road, this is a great scenario for you because you have your iPad and you want to go in and quickly see, you know, who you should be targeting, what are the companies that you have in your prospect list. This is a great way to, again, visualize that data. So again, same exact file, same data. I've got my prospect list over here and the list of companies that I can be targeting.
Right? That's fantastic.
So that's Excel.
Yeah. So let's
switch gears to Word. Mm-hmm. Is that a good idea?
Let's do that.
Okay, so for Word, let me go to Word over here. As we talked about, again, we've got the same set of add-in mm-hmm. functionality available for Word as well. I've got a document over here that I have open with the DocuSign add-in, again, a very mm-hmm. popular add-in from a Word perspective. You've got your list of add-ins for Word. Again, if you go to Insert and Add-ins, again, it's the same spot as you know from a Win32 perspective mm-hmm. as well as the iPad. You've got a list of add-ins that are available. Again, to start with, it's a curated set of add-ins. We hope more folks sort of come in and make their add-in available moving forward. But here's an add-in. I just inserted the DocuSign add-in. If I'm the only person who wants mm-hmm. to sign this document, a sample document over here, simply click on Only Me. Mm-hmm. That'll basically get the document, upload the document directly to the DocuSign server, and then will let me sign in directly over here within the Word window.
Excellent.
A couple other examples just to show you. There's the Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. Again, the trust prompt comes in. Once the Wikipedia comes up, again, similar functionality as we have from a Win32 perspective. You select something. The add-in knows that you've selected some data, so it's getting that event mm-hmm. that something mm-hmm. changed and is looking for that info from the Wikipedia server.
Yep. Right.
And last but not the least, PowerPoint. So this is something that we're currently working on.
Yep.
So you may see some issues and errors and bugs. So
that's okay.
But we're looking to ship this pretty quickly.
Excellent.
So here's the Poll Everywhere add-in. As you know, again, the same concept. I go to Insert. Add-ins and see all. We've got a list of add-ins that are currently available once that loads up over there. And again, hopefully this sort of gets more populated with more add-ins as we move forward. With the Poll Everywhere, I'm going to insert a new poll, multiple choice, and let's say insert poll. I'm just going to mm-hmm. use the default options
yep.
over here. And once that comes up, let's see if it... There it is. And then, as you know, we've got a couple of different views in PowerPoint, which is, you know, PowerPoint is a special case where you can actually edit the add-in
mm-hmm.
as well as view the add-in when you're you know, in slideshow mode.
Yep.
So if you go into slideshow and say from start, there's my same slide in the slideshow mode. Of course, as people vote,
mm-hmm.
Those votes will directly go into this Poll Everywhere app. Let's try that really quick, actually, if you don't mind.
Yeah.
So I am going to go onto my phone over here, and I'm going to send a quick text message. So let's say I'm going to send a text message to that, if that works. There it is.
There we are.
So I just voted for blue, and blue got a vote.
I've used this add-in many, many times for live audience participation at conferences and sessions. It's been great.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
Fantastic. So that's an example of something that's working in PowerPoint. Again, just to show you another mm-hmm. quick example, I'm going to insert a new slide. Let's do that. And then let's see. Let's go into see all. Let's pick, let's pick the stock tile add-in. Again, a fairly popular add-in. This add-in, I believe, is available also for Excel.
Mm-hmm.
And let's type in, let's check and see how the stock is doing today. So let's do that, return. And if I were to do, click on that, so
there
it's down
go.
92 cents. There it is. So
great.
Word, Excel, PowerPoint. You know, close to completion. PowerPoint is close to completion. So hopefully we can ship this over here pretty quickly.
That's exciting. That's really exciting news.
Yep.
Now we keep mentioning that we'd love developers to get their add-ins that may exist already for Windows Desktop or for Office on Windows Desktop into Office on iPad. How easy is it to do?
Very easy.
Yeah.
So there are a few steps that folks have to take, but let me quickly walk you through what those steps are.
Do you want to swap out?
Oh, yes. Thank you. All right. So fairly easy process. If developers have already submitted their add-in for mm-hmm. Win32, it's sort of the same process. We've just added one additional sort of a checkbox mm-hmm. in that same what we call the seller dashboard process, where they submit your where you go in and submit your add-in for Win32 to go to the store. Mm-hmm. There's one additional box over there that says make this add-in available for iPad. All you have to do is just check that checkbox
okay.
and provide your Apple developer ID. Again, we'll go through some of the details. Mm-hmm. Really, that's all it takes. But there are a couple other steps that I think as a program, as a process that we should be doing is sort of making sure that the quality of the add-in is
right.
good moving forward. So that's the sort of the things that I quickly wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
Let's go through this. So again, we talked about what's available on the iPad, insertion, activation of add-ins. Again, what's available on Win32 should be available on the iPad mm-hmm. from a functionality perspective. What do developers do? The first thing is you want to go in and resubmit your add-in, again, through the same seller dashboard process. The developer has to agree to the amended Office developer mm-hmm. policy. So there's an addendum C over there, addendum A that you have to go in and sort of, just read through. There's nothing special about it. But just make sure that that's sort of something that you're okay with from a developer perspective. And providing your developer ID and your email address. Developer ID, Apple developer ID, which is your email address, is what's required. And a few other things, like you want to make sure that your add-in is optimized for touch and for iPad and iOS. Mm-hmm. And the fact that it should not have any upsells or upgrades.
In-app purchases
right. or anything like that. So in this version of Office for iPad, with extensibility support, we're sort of making sure that there's no in-app purchases. Mm-hmm. Any sort of a purchase UI, upgrade UI is allowed within the Office UI itself. That may be something that we look at down the line. But at this point, we want to make sure that the add-in is completely free mm-hmm. And that there are no pointers to sort of go out and purchase this or go out and upgrade or anything like that.
Got it. Okay.
A few other things. You want to make sure that you sort of test your add-in. Mm-hmm. I've got a couple of different ways where you can actually go in and test your add-in. We'll go through that in just a bit. No broken links. Apple is certainly very careful about the sort of content, the sort of add-ins, and the sort of programs that they allow within mm-hmm. their platform. So you want to make sure that your UI is sort of Apple compliant. There are no bugs and there are no crashes and things like that. If Apple does see it, if we do see it from our validation perspective, we will take that add-in down down the line. So that's something that as a developer, you want to make sure that you sort of quality control your add-in before pushing it out to the iPad.
Absolutely.
And then we talked about the commerce stuff. I'm not going to talk more about this. Again, no commerce allowed from an iPad mm-hmm. perspective. We do have a couple of APIs that are available. Here are the two new APIs. So if you use Office.js 1.1 mm-hmm. And you query for this property called isTouchEnabled, mm-hmm. You'll know that your add-in is running on a touch-enabled device.
Oh, great.
So either be it iPad or mm-hmm. even on Win32, if you have the touch mode enabled, mm-hmm. This is going to return true. And then you can, as a developer, you can sort of change the UI of your add-in to be, again, more touch-friendly, have a bit more spacing between the text, mm-hmm. Make the buttons a bit more bigger, and so on and so forth.
Excellent.
And the second one, probably more important, is the commerce allowed or not allowed, and that's another property called is commerce allowed. Mm-hmm. Again, getting that property will return a yes or a no, or a true or a false. True means you can, mm-hmm. false means you cannot.
And so that also helps the developer to build one add-in that they can then make available both on Office on iPad and
Correct.
Then Office on desktop, but then they can, within the code of the add-in
yep.
itself, determine which pieces to show or not show.
That's right.
So
just sort of morph the add-in based on the right. platform or the endpoint it's running. Right?
Which is great, because you don't have to actually write two add-ins. You write one and then make it
adaptable. Exactly. Yep. And so the next big question that I usually get is, how do you test your add-in? Now that this is available, which is great, like, how do you actually debug it and
yep.
how do you test it? Certainly for Word and Excel, you can go in and you can download those applications from the App Store
mm-hmm.
As a partner. You can sideload your add-in.
Okay.
And sideloading is a super simple process. You basically connect your iPad to your computer, and you drag and drop the manifest file onto your iPad, and that is available as a developer add-in, if you will. And I'll quickly walk you through that process over here.
That would be great.
So that's the developer scenario. And the second thing, debugging, again, we'll walk through that over here. We're recommending the usage of this tool called Winery. That's for remote debugging your add-in on your iPad from your Windows or your Mac computer. Again, we'll go through that over here pretty quickly over here.
Great. And I'll make that available in the show notes afterwards as well for folks who are watching the show.
That sounds great.
Yep.
Cool. All right. So let's first go through the developer scenario. This is where I'm actually going to load an add-in.
And do you need a Mac specifically?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
You can do it right off of your Surface or your Windows desktop?
Correct.
That's great.
Correct. So let me exit this and let us duplicate screen. Okay, so now to sideload an add-in, if you will.
Yep, so now we're back on your Surface.
Yep.
Okay.
Back on my Surface.
And we've connected the iPad.
Correct. So we've connected the iPad. I'm going to go to my iPad, and I'm going to go to the apps on my iPad. Again, this is through iTunes. So you'll see that I have Excel, Word, and PowerPoint installed on my iPad over here. I'm going to scroll down. If you click on Excel, you'll see it comes up with this little dialog box, which shows you the files that you have directly on Excel. And this is where you add your manifest file. So you can simply click on Add File, and then you can pick your manifest from wherever your manifest is saved, and just say Open, and that uploads it directly over here onto the iPad.
Okay.
I'm going to delete this one over here just to show you how this works.
That would be great.
So I've got one XML file. Again, that's a manifest file, Iceman Hello World over here. I've added that, and now if you go out to our iPad, okay, so that was in Excel.
Yep.
So I'm going to go back to Excel, and there it is. So now, so it's connecting. Let's cancel that. Let's go for to a new blank workbook, and if you go to Insert and Add-ins, there's my developer add-in called Hello World.
Okay.
Right there. So I'm going to click on that. And it's a super simple add-in. It's just going to say Hello World once that loads over there. Hopefully my demo is working and it loads over there pretty quickly.
And so you didn't have to do any other magical connecting anything. Once you drop that file into iTunes, it knows to associate that with Excel and then make that available for add-ins.
As simple as that. No other magic or magic
registration sauce anywhere.
Nope,
nothing.
Okay. Nothing at all. It's this is a scenario we made available specifically for testing.
Great.
Obviously, again, testing is something that's important, critical from a publishing perspective. It's as simple as just drop your manifest file in, and it should be available on the iPad.
Excellent.
Unfortunately, my add-in is not loading, which is I think I know. I think I know why. So one of the things that I've already also set up on the add-in is to be able to remotely debug this add-in. That's one of the things that I wanted to show. So I can see that the IP address has changed. The IP address that this add-in is pointing to has changed. So I'm going to have to make that minor modification.
Okay.
So let's talk about, assume that your add-in loads. That's exactly how it's supposed to work. As soon as you drag and drop the manifest file, it should just automatically come up without any problems at all. Let's go through the debug scenario over here, and let's come back to the iPad and see that it sort of links up at that point. Okay. So debugging your add-in on the iPad. Again, that's a big scenario. Of course, from a Win32 perspective, you've got Visual Studio to sort of go in and debug your add-in. What we have, we don't have that capability for an iPad at this point. What we do have is this tool called Winery. And let's open up a new window. And let's search for Winery. So Winery, this is the homepage. It's an Apache project. It's a remote debugging tool, if you will. It's built on Node.js.
Okay.
I'm actually in the process of publishing an article to sort of walk you through how the debugging actually works. But I already have Winery installed on my laptop over here, on my Surface over here. I'm just going to restart that server.
Mm-hmm.
And the way you restart it is you restart it with a port. So that's the HTTP port.
Mm-hmm.
And then you bind it to a host. In this case, it's going to be my local IP address, which is 10.82.119.43. So once that comes up, so the server's up and running right
mm-hmm.
now. Now if I were to go here, and if I were to go to the same mm-hmm. IP address, 82.119.43 and colon 8080, that's the port.
Mm-hmm.
And this is my Winery homepage, right? Now, if a client is connected to this particular server, it's going to show up over here.
Yep.
And the way that works is, all I have to do at this point is I have to take this script, this little script over here,
mm-hmm.
and then put it in the homepage of my
app. Or your add-in.
That's right. And it's as simple as that. You just put it in the homepage of your add-in, and then load your add-in from your iPad. One of the requirements is that the iPad and your computer be on the same Wi-Fi network or the same network.
Mm-hmm.
So they should be able to ping each other. As long as that's possible, as long as you include this particular script over here within the homepage of your add-in,
It should just work.
Like Visual Studio.
Okay.
You should be able to go in and manipulate stuff.
Set breakpoints and do all those.
Exactly. Set breakpoints directly in the add-in.
Mm-hmm.
Change stuff directly in the add-in and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So we can give that a try over here if we have the time. Or again, we should have that article up and running over here pretty quickly.
You know, I think we'll wait for the article. Yep. And I'll let everyone know when that's published. And I would love to have you back on the show to show everyone more in-depth debugging with Winery and how we would do that with some more complex add-ins.
That sounds fantastic.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. This is really exciting stuff. Great to see us making it available for developers to build their add-in once and deploy across multiple platforms and really making it easy for them.
Yep.
So phenomenal.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, and happy coding.